Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you so much for tuning in to 305 Radio, a part of 305 Magazine right here on MiamiUndergroundRadio.com. I'm your girl, Dre Mauve, and you can find me on the gram at 305_Brownie. Huge shout out to William of Live Sane Media Group. You can find him at LMG_Willie. That's our photographer for 305 Magazine.
Our ghost host. our host with the ghost.
He's a spirit.
He's good. He's with us in spirit. He's doing good and great things. My name is George. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is George from 305 Magazine. And, man, Miami's been kind of fucked up lately with all this weather. But the good thing is we have, I don't want to butcher your name, Johan Rodrigani.
Gani. You got it.
All right, there you go. And my man is a jeweler, does bespoke jewelry. For those of you who don't know what bespoke means, whoa, there goes my phone.
We'll
fill you in now. As of right now, you can hit the Google and you can figure it out yourself. But we're going to dive into that real soon. So, Johan, what's up, man? You're here with Onyx. Hello, Onyx.
My psychic.
Tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do in your own words.
Well, I'm Johan, and I'm just a jewelry designer. When I started this entire career, I never in my life thought I'd become what I am today. I always say it's my mistake career because I kind of fumbled into it. And I guess as the conversation goes, we'll probably touch base on that and tell people a little bit of how I got there.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm a jewelry designer today and moving forward to becoming a fashion designer in the near future.
Tell me a little bit about your childhood, your background, nationality.
Don't go too far back.
let's take it to 92. I came from Cuba when I was 2 years old in a boat. Lived in Miami my entire life. Moved to Sebring, Florida for high school. Once I graduated there, just headed back to Miami. Went to MIU to become a sound engineer. And I couldn't afford college anymore, so 2 years in, I kind of dropped out and just amounted a bunch of debt and just continued working. And
yeah, sounds like a typical story.
Yeah, so as I was working, I mean, I just fumbled into jewelry making. And, I mean, it just took off from there.
I mean, I went on your website, and it's a dope website. For those of you that haven't visited it, it's Johan Rodrigani.com. If you're worried about my spelling or pronunciation, go on the website, go on our IG at 305 Radio, and you'll see his image, and just follow him. And then when you give him a follow, go ahead and check out his website. And I read that you were working as a valet.
Yes.
And what, you just, someone dangled something? Like, they dangled the jewelry in front of you? You almost stole it?
They hypnotized him with it? What happened?
Well, I used to, when I was working the valet, there was this one gentleman that he would come in all the time. And, I mean, his jewelry was just fly. I mean, mm-hmm. He was on point all the time. And one day I asked him, hey, man, where did you get that bracelet from? He gave me the website, went online, Googled it. It was like $400. And at the time, I was making $5 an hour. So... Uh-huh. I mean, $400 is
big money right
out
that
of
moment.
My budget, right? Yeah. So I said, man, forget this. You know, I'm going to go to eBay, order mm-hmm. a bunch of beads, some string, and watch a bunch of YouTube videos. And that's exactly what I did. And when it all arrived, I mean, I knew exactly how I was going to assemble it. I watched 200 videos. There goes your phone.
I told you guys.
What?
So I watched, countless videos. The moment all the raw goods came in, I assembled the bracelet. It was like 3 in the morning that day. I went right back to work and kind of showed all my coworkers, and they're like, oh my God, I love it, man. Where did you get it? I'm like, oh, I bought it from this old lady. My mom knows. I didn't want to say like I did it. I was so embarrassed. No offense to the Etsy ladies, but I always mention that. You know? Like, I didn't want to sound like an Etsy lady. So I was like, this old lady, my mom knows.
¿Qué tiene mal los Etsys?
Man, I didn't want to sound like a stay-at-home mom or like an Etsy business. Sure, yeah. You know, it's like, man, you're a grown-ass dude. What you doing? So that's I kind of had to lie about it first. once I took it to work, showed it to everybody, everybody's like, oh my God, can you order some for me? I'm like, sure. So I sold one, I sold two, three, four, five, 10, and I was like, hold on, this could become a potential business. I could do. I'm like, yeah, I could do a little bit more than I've been doing. So at that point, I started creating a little bit more. before I was just assembling pieces with my own combinations. After, I mean, that entire phase passed, I said, you know what, I'm going to start designing. So I started designing little things, you know, little beads and stuff like that. And it just, little by little, it evolved. Eventually, I started picking up my first custom pieces. And as I went, eventually, I did a collaboration called the Wynwood Collection, where I collaborate with local and international artists. And that's what took me to the next level. I mean, that collection there took me into Art Basel, Art Miami, Scope, Art Palm Beach. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Once I got in there, my client base just...
totally changed,
I mean,
huh?
It just... yeah, my demographics just changed. It went from selling to valet guys to selling to people worth with a net worth of $50, $60 million. So that's a really big shift. So once that shift happened, it just continued growing. Then I started picking up celebrities. You know, start picking up celebrities, athletes, and that got me to where I am today.
Now, to go from a local artist trying to get his name out to working in Wynwood, doing the Wynwood collection, once you got into Art Basel, what kind of, take me a little bit into your experience. Once you found out you were in Basel, then Basel as it is high profile.
Yeah.
So were you shitting bricks?
Hell yeah.
What was going on?
Well, I'll tell you, my first piece that got me, I'm actually wearing it.
Okay.
This is the very first piece
that
got me into Basel. And I finished that piece 1 hour before the show started. So you could just imagine the amount of pressure I had months into making this piece. I mean, I had never done a piece so filled with diamonds before, you know, that was going to sell for $10,000. Mm-hmm. So... the experience was tough. It was a tough learning curve. I was shitting bricks. It mm-hmm. was scary. But once you do the first one, it kind of, one experience helps you build into the next, right?
Exactly.
So then Art Palm Beach was the second gig that I got right after that. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, it's just another one. Let's do it. You know, but I was hyped. I was pumped. I did Miami.
You were ready for this one.
I was ready.
You're
for
ready
Palm Beach.
To go. You already did
So that's it. I mean, once you do one, you do two, you do three, it just becomes part of the job.
And what inspired that piece?
That piece was inspired by...
Club Space. Sean...
For sure.
The artist, Sean Kalani, he believes all material brands and things are fake fulfillment, where, for example, we might buy, for women, you know, you might buy a new Louis Vuitton purse. And it makes you feel great, right? You know that feeling you get, you got a brand new Louis Vuitton purse, you're going to show your girls. It feels amazing. You know, you're going to go out Friday night, Saturday night, you're wearing it. When you've had it for 6 months, that fulfillment kind of wears out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's fake fulfillment. And we're constantly chasing all these material things. So his entire art collection consists of like 50 milligrams of Gucci, 50 milligrams of Louis Vuitton, 100 milligrams of Ferrari, of Lamborghini, mm-hmm. Bugatti, I mean, you name it. It's all around brands. And then I said, you know what? If there's one thing that will fulfill us in life, it's love. So let's do 50 milligrams of love. And that's where this pill was born. It's 50, I mean, it actually says...
50 mg.
Yeah, it says love. 50 milligrams of love. So
give us a little bit more detail on that. How many diamonds do you have in there?
168 diamonds. 168, just so, under 4 carats.
So 168 diamonds equals 55 milligrams of love.
55 milligrams of love.
I'm saying I like the way this path is going.
Shiny, glistening love.
There's a lot of love going around.
But yeah, that that collection was the one that kicked me off. And it earned my respect to all these other artists. You know, they started respecting me a little bit more. It wasn't the guy that was... working valet, it was more like, okay, this guy's doing this full time, mm-hmm. right? And this is all he does. And then it was unique at the time. There was no other jeweler really translating art into wearable art.
Wearable pieces.
You know, pretty much, you buy a painting and you pay $30,000 and you hang it on a wall. I mean, who really goes into the house of a multimillionaire? You know, it's very slim to none. I mean, there's a few selected few people that go out there into their house, into
right,
their
they homes. Can appreciate it.
But when you wear it, I mean, the world gets to see it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be at Whole Foods, and you know, it's just people you don't even know get to see it. So, I guess it's a bigger bang for your buck.
Yeah.
You know, in regards to exposure.
It's 150 something diamonds worth of bang for your buck.
How do you react to people's reactions with your pieces?
My reaction is my reaction now. I'm just speechless. You know, I'm going from working valet, parking cars, to people admiring what you do. I mean, valet is one of those jobs where people put you down a lot of the time. I would say 80% of the time you're being put down. And it's because when people park their cars, that's the last thing they care about at a hotel, at a restaurant. I mean, the waiter would get a lot more respect because nobody wants to have spit in their food or something. Exactly. So they get a little bit more respect than the valet does. But the valet is like the leftover. It's the last thing in the building. So you just want your keys and you want to take off, right? So going from that position where nobody really cares what you do or your efforts to being glorified for what you're doing, it's amazing. It shows you people's perspective, because you could also see the same group of people, how they treat you now.
You know, to so how you get, they did you, then.
Yeah, to how they did then, but still, hard work pays off, you know, and nevertheless, it feels amazing. Even, I mean, it doesn't matter what type of people are doing this now, or let's call it kissing ass or whatever, mm-hmm. Whatever, you're just grateful for it, you know. There's a lot of people who really appreciate my work, and you can tell who's who.
That's awesome, man. So, that's really dope. And to come from such humble beginnings, it speaks volumes of you. You know, shoot, I've worked in restaurants and hotels all my life. Yo, and a valet always got shit on. Always. Don't get me wrong. Every now and then a celeb would come in and be like,
Yo, park my car exactly here,
and they give them $100.
Yeah.
But, dude, the highlight of your day is $100.
Yeah.
That big tip for the day is your highlight. So, you know, and for those, shout out to everyone in the biz that's listening to this, because y'all know exactly where I'm coming from with this. Especially when you start pushing for your passions, it's much more difficult to actually let go of whatever your 9-to-5 is. Even though you're making a nice little check here and there, you still got to let it go.
Yeah.
I mean, where were you at? What was the milestone that you crossed that you said, fuck this valet shit?
While I was in the valet, it was really hard to gain people's respect to actually do big collaborations. So I couldn't reach out to an artist and say, hey, let's get together and work on this, because mm-hmm. I was working valet. I mean, if they were to call me and say, all right, let's get together right now.
You're working.
I was working. You know, how was I going to say, oh, yeah, I got to finish my job at 3 or at 9 or at 11 o'clock at night, or the times I would do overnight shift. You know, mm-hmm. it's the graveyard shift. It was horrible. So I just couldn't do it. And although I had the mindset of this is where I want to go, mm-hmm. I just didn't have the guts to actually do it. Like, I felt like I was faking it mm-hmm. If I had to do that. So I never really took a big step while I was in the valley. Mm-hmm. I just kind of planned, and continued cooking ideas in my mind. So what I did do was I bought an investment property in Sebring, Florida, in $59,000. I spent an entire year working valet 5 days a week, and then my 2 days off, I would drive to Sebring, Florida, work construction to fix the house, come back, continue working 5 days a week, go mm-hmm. back, and I did that for an entire year. And when I sold the house, I sold it in 115. Mm-hmm. So that was my come up. That was the breakthrough.
That is amazing. I love so that you did that.
Then I grabbed that money, and that money I went all in and invested that money, 100% of it, back into the jewelry business.
Good, man.
Then I quit.
That's amazing.
So that's when I quit. I had, how much was it? I'm sorry. She's my numbers.
the numbers, the years, it was $166.
I had,
it was something sense.
After I sold the house that we invested all the money back into the jewelry business, I had about $167, more or less, dollars.
Dollars in the bank.
In the bank. That's all I had. I mean, I had nothing else. I had a bunch of tools and equipment and very little inventory, probably about $2,000 worth of inventory. And I just walked out of the valley. I just had to do it. She's the one responsible for it.
You keep saying she and we, so tell us a little bit about
Onyx. Onyx is my psychic. Onyx is my psychic. She believed in me way before I believed in myself. She was the one to push me and say, you have to do it, you have to do it, you have to do it. And even today, mm-hmm. She continues to do that. So she continues to play that right-hand role. But without her, I mean, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I just,
well,
not even
true.
The slightest, not even the slightest of chance.
I think she wants to hear you say that one more time.
No, but definitely, she was the one that pushed me.
That's awesome, out, man. It's good to have a great support.
It's just that behind every great leader, there's a strong woman.
There you go, Onyx. There you go, Onyx.
No, the desire is there, but if you don't have when you're going through this phase, like we sit here and we sum it up and it's so easy to say in 2, 3 sentences, 4 sentences, right? But it's years. It's years of hard work. And to find somebody who's actually willing to put that work day after day after day, I mean, I've succeeded, yes. I mean, I've had my success, but I failed a million times more than I've succeeded. So to have that person there to pick you up and push you and push you and push you, even when you fail after fail, failure after failure after failure, it's that's everything. I would say that's everything. I mean, as a man, you could relate, right? Where it's, you have the household and you're trying to carry that household weight.
Yeah.
So you definitely want to play that man of the house role. And she was the man of the house, in the sense of carrying the workload,
She held it down.
In the sense of holding it down, right, and carrying that workload to say, okay, go ahead and fulfill that dream, go ahead and push. And, I mean, like I said, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for her pushing as hard as she used to push.
It's a beautiful
thing.
So
you held it down and you hustled.
24 hours a day.
That is what's up. The dynamic duo.
I mean, right? It got to a point. I knew I just had to be all around better. When you're working in valet, the type of people that you're associating with normally are young professionals that are going through school and they're just they don't give a damn about the valet job. They're just working it because they need a few bucks. Or older people who they either came to this country old and don't have many work options, or people who just don't give a shit. So your association day in and day out is not the top grade people, that's going to increase your vocabulary or teach you new, strategies or techniques in business. We didn't even speak about business at work. It was just, how can I hustle to make a few more bucks, know? Can I leave this car on the ramp
and
get, y coger los otros 20 pesos, So, so when I got out of there, I literally spent months just reading books. And it would be 2, 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, and I'll be in front of the computer screen just watching YouTube, just educating myself, just to bring my vocabulary up a notch, just to bring my knowledge in jewelry making up a notch. Mm-hmm. And it was about 4 or 5 months, right, more or less, that I spent just straight studying. Mm-hmm. So I felt like that was my college, that was my university, that was...
YouTube University?
YouTube University, yeah.
He graduated with honors from YouTube University.
All right.
Yeah, I ate it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Trust me, I've been there.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But, that's the way you learn. If you can't afford it, you either make excuses or you find a different way.
It's not about the school you go to. It's all about the students. So.
Exactly. Yeah, so. And if you were willing to put in the drive to sit in front of that screen day in, day out, to just learn and absorb that information, kudos to you, bro. Because not a lot of people do that. And a lot of people, they'll get on YouTube and they'll be like, I'm going to go learn this. And, oh, my God, look, this guy does this on tricks and skates and bikes. And, yeah, there goes ADD. It's over.
And then the next video pops up.
Yeah, man. But that's the thing. Me, myself, I've been in your shoes and doing that. So I commend you for that. It's really dope.
Yeah, no, it's the only way. If you can't afford to pay through school, you have to educate yourself some way, shape, or form.
One way or another, man. So, this is a modern day by the candlelight reading a book.
It's like I tell everybody, I had zero mentors. So my mentors were the Gary V's, the Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
All these guys were my mentors directly. I would think about these people as if I knew them personally. And it was just, that was the only way I can follow a guide as to bettering myself, right? Because I had nobody around me that was on that position, right? To actually teach me or hold my hand and walk me through, So... It is what it is, man. It was good times.
That is dope.
I enjoyed it.
Now let's move on past the valley, and Art Basel. Now Your first piece was, for those of you just listening, it's around his neck, he has a little like red and clear.
It's a capsule.
Capsule. And the clear part is full of diamonds. And it says 55 milligrams of love. I mean,
50.
Hey, 5 milligrams here and there, bro. Love is love. Tira un poquito para allá. So what kind of material, like, what's the difference in what your craftsmanship now, then, and now? Like, what are you building? What were you working with then that's different from what you're working with now?
Before, when I first started, I would just go on eBay and buy a bunch of just stock items. Mm-hmm. Stock stones, low-quality stones, obviously. Mm-hmm. Just little pieces of metal, who knows what it was. I mean, I don't know if it was brass, if it was, I don't know what it was.
It looked nice.
It looked nice, you know? Yeah. So I was just buying these pieces, stock, and just assembling my own combinations, right?
Okay.
Now I design everything. Like, everything you see on me is literally designed by us. Okay. It's unique. So I have my own brand, and that's what you see online. Mm-hmm. And that's where the Windward collection is in. And then I also do custom pieces. Okay. And normally those are for celebrities, athletes, and it's just one of one. I don't even promote that. You don't see it on the Instagram. It's just some of those pieces that I make for them, and they take off with it. And I never see it again. So
I know
unless I see it, I try to get pictures on like social media. For example, Dwayne Wade. I just did a really big thing for him for his retirement.
Thing.
Yeah, I'll show you guys.
Come on, give me some exclusives.
I'll show you guys.
What is the thing for those that the are thing. Listening? Because that just sounds really bad.
I did this thing with that stuff. No, okay, so I used to park Dwayne Wade's car when I was in the valet. And every time he would come in, I was still doing the assembling of jewelry. It was not my custom
stuff. The first stages.
Yeah, it was... I mean, none of my personal stuff now, but I still wanted to give him a piece because I admired D-Wade that much. And I would chase him down every single day. And then he would come around, his kids would be around, and I'm like, I'm not going to, you know, attack the guy and ask him questions in front of his kids. You know, it's like, oh, whatever, I'll let him go. But that went on for months. I mean, literally about an entire year.
No breaks.
I would see, there was no breaks, right? I was just waiting for that opportunity to like, hey, D-Wade, and I couldn't. Either my boss was around, and I mean, we were prohibited to, obviously ask him for anything or pictures or whatever. So when this year was coming to an end, this basketball season, I was like, wow, it'd be amazing to do a piece to commemorate Wade. I had zero connections with the team, zero connections with anybody who knew the team. But three months prior to the season coming to an end, I'm here just chopping it up with a friend. And I tell him, man, you know, I have this dream of doing this piece for Wade, and I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I have to make it happen. He goes, you're freaking kidding me. You should have told me. I'm really good friends with Kelly Olynyk. And I'm like, hold on. You're friends with the center for the Miami Heat? And he goes, yeah. I'm like, man, can you, like, give him a call? He's like, yeah, for sure. So he texts Kelly, and Kelly tells him, okay, cool. When can we meet up? I mean, my heart was just going. I was like, holy shit, like, that's Kelly on the other
side. This is really happening.
This is really happening. So we got to work, and we did a piece to commemorate D-Wade. But the best thing about it is that not only we did it for D-Wade, we did it for the entire Miami Heat team.
And this is the Miami?
And that's the Miami. I don't know if you've seen it on
the Vice on the IG. Letters.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's the Miami 18-karat gold with white diamonds, Wade's. And then the other ones are white with 16 diamonds. Because Wade played 16 seasons. So the entire team got the white ones. Nice. Wade and Haslam, since they both retired, they got the yellow ones.
Of course,
ones.
Yeah.
And then when we finished this piece, I was like, wow, this is so cool. We can't just throw it in a regular jewelry box. So we went out there and we designed the actual stadium. So I went all around. The stadium and took pictures. And then came back home and sat in the computer and designed it. So, yeah, that's the D-Wade piece. That's been the highlight of my career as for now. And the best thing about it was when it was all said and done, Kelly gives me a call and says, hey, man, are you home? I'm like, yeah, I'm home. He's like, oh, I'm going to pass by. D-Wade sent you a little gift. And I was like, holy shit, like, what is it? You know, I was hyped up when he got there. He had this jersey signed by the entire Miami Heat team and dedicated to me. So
how dope is that?
I tell him, is this like his actual jersey? He goes, yeah, this is his actual jersey. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the only one that we've all signed this year. So I potentially have the only jersey that the entire Miami Heat signed on weights last year.
Boy, you better hold that it's gold.
I don't think you should have said that.
Well, I framed it.
Look, let me.
And it's hanging in my office. I love it. I look at it every day, and every day it just seems unbelievable.
That's amazing.
Well, let me tell you, man, I'm looking at that jewelry piece. And for those of you just listening from whichever part of the world, we truly love you and grateful you're listening to us. So this, if you guys are Miami Heat fans, let's take it back a little further back. This isn't normal. This isn't Vice City Miami Heat. This is Miami Arena Miami Heat. The lettering is from the Miami Arena.
It's the actual jersey letters.
Yeah, exactly.
The one they used this last year.
Those letters were on the Miami Arena. That's what makes it so dope. And yo, the case that you gave it to him in, it's identical to the American Airlines Arena.
Yeah, it is.
This shit is so dope. Like,
we had to change a couple things. You won't notice it because the thing is, when you grab something this big and you make it this small, windows and lines and things just start clashing together.
Right. For sure.
So what we did is I didn't just want to start subtracting windows. Like, let's say it had 12 windows on one side. I didn't just want to say, okay, let's do three. Yeah. I said, I want to make it a little bit more symbolic. So even the windows, I took note of that. And there's actually 14 windows on each side. And I said, okay, I have to delete some, but I want it to be a special number. So I made it 8. And then since there's two rows of windows, there's 8 and 8.
16.
Wade played 16 seasons, yes. 16 windows of opportunity. So even those little tiny details, the amount of diamonds on the piece, everything meant something. The piece actually measured 16 millimeters length and 3 millimeters in width. So, I mean, the numbers just went on and on and on throughout the stadium, throughout the piece, the diamond count. You name it.
Everything was very symbolic.
Everything. I mean, I wanted to make it like a championship ring, but a pendant. And
man, you were on your
did.
Way to make a championship ring, man.
That's the next goal, man. That's the next goal.
Tell me a little bit about your creative process, because I know that originally you started just kind of ordering random pieces and just kind of assembling them, and now you're actually designing everything from the ground up. So take me through the process.
The process starts anywhere with anything. I say inspiration, I mean, it's just, you know, at the snap of a finger, it just happens. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm driving and I see a bridge that I like, and I'm like, oh my God, I need to take a picture of that bridge. So I'll literally make a U-turn and go back around and snap a picture of it. I don't know if I'll ever use the shapes, but if I liked it, I'll just kind of use it as inspiration. And as I create, I'll bring all these images back up. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll take like an art from the bridge and something from somewhere else and kind of bring all that together. And that's pretty much how I create. I just let it happen. I mean, I don't really sit down
and force myself to
say, oh, I have to do this collection. And I mean, it just doesn't happen like that. With the artist, it's a little bit easier just because you're looking at their particular style of painting, and you kind of just go off of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, Mr. Debonair, he paints artillery. So it's fairly easy. You know, I'm going to do something that has to do with artillery. So I did a grenade, and I just added diamonds to it.
Yeah.
With Sean Kalani, you know, he paints pills and capsules. It's fairly easy. You just grab a pill and a capsule, and you just hype it up. You know,
make
jewelry. So with the artist, it's a little bit easier because some of the work is done. With my own collection, it's just one of those things. You just have to wait for inspiration to come through. But it comes through every single day because it's just what I do.
And as far as customizing, is that something that you're just open to whatever idea the celebrity or the other person has?
Yeah, customizing is just what it is. You know, it's custom work. Normally, they already know what they want. I just make it happen for them. They come in and they're like, oh, I have this plain Rolex. I want to, you know, make it a little bit better. What do you want? I want white diamonds, black diamonds, pink diamonds, whatever they want. And then I just kind of grab their vision and
bring
obviously with the techniques, bring it to life.
Well, Mr. the grenade you did with Mr. Debonair is the fanciest grenade I've ever seen in my life. Like, when you look at it, you're like, man, what is this? And then you see the black diamonds.
The thing about the grenade is that normally when you see, I mean, what one of the things I do is I like to create unique pieces. So before I take any project, first thing I do is Google it. So if you tell me, create a grenade for me, I'll go online and Google jewelry grenades and kind of see what everybody else has created. If there's just an abundance of pieces, most likely I just won't do it. If I see it's just a select few out there, then I'll look at that. Most likely I'll print the images and make sure we do everything on the opposite end of what those people did. And with the grenade, it's just that we saw a lot of grenades. Normally in jewelry, people cast all the pieces in one, just because it's a lot easier and cheaper to do. In this grenade, we did every single piece individually and then assembled it together. So that grenade is actually assembled 100% just like a real grenade is. So
that's kind of
creepy. The pins, the triggers, everything come apart, like on the actual jewelry piece.
Who would have thought jewelry making would teach you that, huh?
Is the pin diamond studded? Is the explosive stuff inside glitter? What's going on?
Oh, no. That's a little far.
but it's really dope. Like, if, for those of you watching on the IG, you can't, it doesn't do it justice.
And there's another grenade. That's the one with diamonds, and then there's the one that has those.
It's inside like that Bruno Mars.
Throw a grenade for you. So yeah, that's the creative process is pretty simple. It's just, I create, or when it's a bespoke pieces and they come with the idea, I just bring it to life. I use the techniques I've learned throughout the years and pretty much apply it. People know what they want. Yeah. They just don't know how they're going to make it happen. Really, and I'm the guy that knows.
That's where you come in. With that being said, take me through like a typical day in your life. How do you balance it out?
Typical day in my life. So I wake up really early. I wake up early, and the first thing I do is what all the pros tell you not to do, which is Instagram. So the very first thing I do in my day is I make my Instagram posts. I don't use any bots or anything to actually make the post. I do it myself because normally I write a lot on my post, and I
noticed you get into it.
I just sit there and like I like to add meaning to stuff. You know, I never created pieces to sell pieces. I created pieces to sell the emotion.
Okay.
And that's where I'm a little different. I just, all my pieces have a meaning. They have an emotion. People could relate to the story. And I think that's what's special. But my regular day starts with my IG posts. Normally I go for a walk or run around Brickell. Once I come back, shower, get dressed, and I just go about the day. Normally I write out a list of my things. And then out of that entire list, I pick my one thing. I don't know. Are you guys into reading? Or there's that book, One Thing.
No, I haven't read
One Thing. Well, it's a great book. If you guys like reading,
One Thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I actually I write that entire list, and I pick the one thing that if I just do that, I'll feel successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't matter if I have 3 million things on my list. Normally, I do have a bunch of things on my list, but I just pick the one thing that means the most to me, and I attack that one first. And normally it's designing. That's normally my one thing, what's on my one thing the majority of the time. But I just take it from there, and then my day just develops.
Okay.
Now, I'm sorry, excuse me. I'm a little under the weather, guys. I'm sorry. You work with a lot of artists. Music artists?
Mainly athletes.
Okay, because I was going to say, are you going to start doing diamond teeth?
No. Maybe. You never know, right?
Probably not. Probably not.
No, but I think it's really dope that you don't only stick to athletes and just trying to get your foot in the door anymore. Like that you own the door now.
Yeah.
That is what's up. And coming from your path, from, you know, the valet stuff and where you're at now is an inspiration as is. So you guys listening to this that are working at a hotel or something, dude, just do it.
You just got
to
do it.
Just do it. Listen, I used to work in the kitchen at a hotel. And I said, hey, F this. I'm doing a magazine.
That's it.
Done.
I mean,
open up the parachute and jump.
You just got to,
No,
you just gotta
jump, open up. Then open the parachute.
Jump.
When you first started off, you kind of didn't really have a clear idea. You said you just kind of stumbled into this industry and into this passion that you have now. But now that you're here and now that you own the door, what do you hope to accomplish through this work?
I don't want to stick to just jewelry. I think I've always had a passion for fashion, clothing, quality in whole. You know, like, I love quality. I've always been that kid, even when I was working ballet at $5 an hour, where, I mean, if I could buy myself one pair of shoes, but it was going to be a good pair of shoes that were going to last for a very long time, I would do that. I'd rather have one pair than having 100 pairs. Yeah. So quality has always been my thing. Luxury goods obviously just goes hand in hand with quality. So I'm hoping to take the brand into apparel and luxury leather goods. So my next step is I have already started the process of designing my leather goods. Just in January, I was in Spain and Italy, Switzerland, working with and negotiating with manufacturers down there to start manufacturing my leather goods. Nice. And in Spain, we're going back to Spain to finish up and close those deals out. Nice. So I'm thinking around February, hopefully Valentine's Day. So we can get those sales.
More love pieces.
More love pieces. So hopefully around Valentine's Day, we'll be able to launch some of our leather goods.
Well, we'll be ready and waiting. And
super excited about that next journey. And that's going to be a very slow process. It's not going to happen overnight. We're not looking into launching. I mean, we do jewelry now. We don't want to launch shoes tomorrow.
Yeah.
We want to launch, like, I don't know, card wallets and little leather goods so we could learn. I mean, bottom line, yeah, you have all these great craftsmen that are doing this craftsmanship, right? These artisans, but at the end of the day, I have to know the process just as much as they do. Yeah. So it's a learning process. So I'm starting with the little things, and eventually, by the end of next year, I'll have like full blown bags for women and all that.
Keep me posted.
Well, I'm telling you, you got a hell of a start already.
So
super excited, especially with the Dwayne Wade thing. I love it.
Any other dream collabos you have in mind?
Wade's
pretty big. I don't know how much bigger you can get.
Yeah. hopefully
we could get the championship to Miami. I kind of have my foot in the door to being able to submit a piece to see if I could do the championship ring.
Okay.
That's definitely in my bucket list. And any of the other two teams in Miami, right? The Marlins, of course, and then the Dolphins. If I could do anything with them,
yeah.
I'd love to do anything for the city, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we're children of my father, so it's pretty. It's tough to talk about the Dolphins, but I'm with you 100%.
Yeah, but I mean, if the opportunity presents itself with any of the local teams,
you missed it. I love one opportunity though, bro.
Which one?
The soccer team.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, Miami, as vicious as it is historically, that we don't, like, we'll win something and then lose, like the Marlins. What'll happen is, with soccer, you have a great opportunity because Beckham's behind it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know.
They may be listening right now.
If anyone in the Beckham camp is listening, this guy could do your jewelry.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I'm completely open to collabs, but being that we're going into leather goods, I'm kind of revamping the entire collection. So pretty much everything that's online now is going to be sold out. And then once it all sells out, we're not going to post anything else.
No more diamonds?
Yes, but we're recreating the entire collection. Rebranding. So we're rebranding everything. So nothing that's online now would be there. I don't know, maybe at the beginning of next year, it'll be gone.
A whole new clean slate.
Whole new slate, just rebranding, you know. Rebranding to be able, we got to build that foundation for the leathers to come in.
That's dope. That's
good. So I need a more solid foundation. Right now you have like a little bit of everything. It's just the way I started. I mean, it's great. It got me to where I'm at. But we're just ready for stage two. So
we're ready too.
First diamonds.
You've been dropping a lot of wisdom nuggets, as we like to call them around here.
Man, you're dropping gems, bro.
Lots of gems, literally.
Lots of them. And you know what I like? What I love about this interview the most is that, like, you really did. You have no, like, a lot of people are kind of like, let's not talk about my past too much.
I don't care.
They graze over it, and you're like, listen, I did this because A, B, and C, and this is how it was. And man, that for me in itself, because I guess I've been in that, I've hung out with the valet guy, I was in the kitchen, yada yada, hotel life, whatever. I know your struggle, and I've seen it. So it's really impressive, man, because it's tough to get el ánimo ese, that umph, that inspiration to break through.
Yeah, man, I mean, there's nothing to be ashamed of, you know, like for anybody who's out there doing what I already did, right? Doing the valet, working at a hotel, whatever you're doing, sweeping the floor. Bro.
Put it in.
Whatever it is, man, you know, you just got to believe in something. Stick to it and work hard.
Absolutely.
You know, it's not going to happen overnight, but it'll happen. Eventually, it's going to happen for you.
Yo, but the most impressive shit about all this was you bought a crib, and God knows where the fuck. And then you worked your ass off all week and then went over there for 2 days to do construction, came back down. And kept going. Like, that in itself is a huge hustle, man. Like, I commend you for that because...
How bad do you want it, man?
Yeah, dream doesn't saying, work unless you do, right?
That's all it is, you know?
The best thing is people are always like, yo, where's my come up? I got to come up with this money somehow. Homie did it the right way.
Well, some of the money, I mean, it was a massive loan that I took, you know, like...
Yeah, but I was... Thank God you said that. I was like, don't tell me you're joking me too. I don't need... Don't put that on the show.
No. It's a massive loan that I took, and it was a massive risk. You know, I could have flopped. I mean, you see it all the time. People flop. They do bad deals, you know. So you got to take risk. You know, you either take risk or you don't. You either make it or you don't.
Yeah,
so
amen to that.
How bad do you want it, you know? How much are you willing to give up? A part of the story was when I quit the valet, it wasn't just like, oh, I quit and my life just remained the same. No. I mean, I got rid of my cars. I had to sell both of my cars. I had to leave my house and go sleep in a room in her parents' house. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much stayed with nothing, like, whatsoever. I didn't own anything. Like, I didn't go out, get clothes. I didn't get shoes. I didn't shop for anything. I didn't have nothing at all. Like, I left my home. And one of the toughest things you could ever do is leave your home voluntarily, because you could have... I mean, your mind tells you, man, you could just continue working. You know, you would have had your home. But when you give up your home, I mean, this is your throne, you know? Like, to me, my house is my throne. It's the only place in the world where, you know, I am the law.
Yeah.
You know, and you come home, and at least in my house, I feel like a king when I walk in. You know, everything's to my taste and to her taste. So when you give that up and you have to go and be in your in-law's house, which I love them to death, And you know, I'm super grateful for everything they did for me. Never had an issue with them whatsoever. So it's not like one of those cases where you're like, oh, the mother-in-law's a pain in the ass or the father-in-law's. No. These two people, like, kill for me. Like, they love me to death, right? But still, it's just not my home. It's theirs. So giving that up was one of the toughest things I did. But that's part of the story. You know, I had to give everything up in order to gain... Now,
you gotta hit the floor, man.
Sacrifices.
That's how it was. Construction.
Oh, yeah. Oh wow, dude. Oh, homie has no beard.
I couldn't. You have to shave for valet.
Yeah, I know. I know. You look like a whole different monster.
Yeah.
Is there any additional advice, be it personal or professional, that you would like to leave our audience with tonight?
Never quit. That's it. That's the advice. You just got to keep working.
But one thing more than anything, man, because you did mention something that is close to me. You have no mentors. Mm-hmm. You feel as if you have no mentors, so you turn to Gary Vee.
Online mentors.
So these online mentors, what was the turning point for you with those guys? Or at least not the turning point. What was the spark? Because Gary Vee posts a million and one things, and I could tell you what spark will put me onto him, but... Everyone's different. What was the spark for you?
Diversity was my spark because I didn't stick to one person. Mm-hmm. I kind of listened to everybody. Like, I read every single book Donald Trump has written.
Okay.
Right? But I've also written the Obama books, and I've read the you know, Tony Robbins and all these other people. So diversity was it. Mm-hmm. When you listen to so many different people, then you could come to your own conclusion. You know, at the end of the day, Gary Vee didn't tell me how to do anything.
Of course.
You know, and I didn't. I'm not one of these people that sat behind the computer, listen to Gary Vee, get hyped up 5 minutes later. You know? I mean, there's a bunch of people out there that's like, yeah, I'm gonna kill it, I'm gonna do it, and then the next day they wake up at 12 o'clock in the noon. You know, yeah, so it's like you just slept through the damn morning, like.
You just wasted the whole day.
There's a lot of those people, you know. So don't get me wrong. When I say Gary Vee, you could listen to these people, but you have to act.
Absolutely.
But you have to do something.
I'm in reference to any words that you heard that you were like,
damn. Man, it's just so many. Right now you're asking me and you're just, it's one of those questions, you know, you got to sit down and like think about it a little bit. It'll come up to me.
Well, I know that, for instance, with Gary Vee, the whole thing that he says, you know, I need motivation, and he tells you you're going to die.
Oh, yeah, I love that one.
To you, that's something big.
Yeah, I love that one.
Because, you know, you dealt for also a few years with really bad thyroid that you were really sick, and many things occurred health-wise that you said, I have to push through this, and I got to do it because this is what it is. This is only one life. And that's something that came, you know, from Gary Vee.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I guess
think everyone needs a psychic. Like, you need someone on your team.
Don't promote her too much, bro.
she came with the camera. She's I'm gonna keep to her. Go. Dre got her unlocked. It's a wrap. You don't rap, do you? Exclusive.
That's gonna be for the next one.
Oh, you both rap. They did. Kick one verse. Your favorite verse, Dali.
Oh shit.
All right, you don't have to do it. I'll fuck with you.
Are there any shout outs you want to give before we go?
Anyone that you guys, anyone that's part of your team,
Gary Vee.
Shout outs. I would say David, Aníbal, Rigo, Sebastian, all these people that I know, they're always keeping tabs. And
all these people that she's mentioning, they're not my team. It's my team. It's collectors. It's local artists that have pushed me and been there for me. I mean, I could sit here and mention names all day. Everybody says the whole self-made thing. I don't believe in self-made. I think that's just bullshit. I mean, the only thing that's self-made is a desire. If you don't have that spark in you, you're out of gas, right? So desire is the only thing that's self-made. Everything else, I've received a lot of help, man. But you know what? My desire has been so strong that people see it. You know, my collectors see it. The local artists that I collaborate with see it. You know, my family sees it. So I think desire is the only thing that's self-made. Everything else is all these people that she's mentioning. Mm-hmm. It's
Rex.
Just been a bunch of people.
Remembered Rex. He
Rex.
He pulled
Rex
through for
pulled
the
through for the Miami Heat for the arena.
Shout out to Rex.
I was stuck with the roof. I just couldn't get it to dome. I did everything, but I couldn't get
the
roof to dome.
And
he pulled
from
up.
Houston,
yeah.
That is dope, man. That's really good to hear.
But, yeah, man, I mean, a ton of people. I'm just grateful for everybody that I've met and everybody that I meet along the way. I mean, even you guys. I know in some way, shape, or form, either I'll contribute to your careers or you guys will contribute to mine.
Hell
so
yeah.
It's amazing. You know, it's amazing to just meet more people and continue building that web of networks.
That's what we're here for.
Yo, I mean, I think this is all really dope. Where could they find you online?
Johan Rodrigani at everything. I mean,
everything.
I own every single Johan Rodrigani platform.
It's all you.
Yeah, when we, my name is Joan Rodriguez. Mm. When everybody called me Johan in school, so I just continued with Johan. Mm. And Rodrigani is a mix of my last name and hers.
Got it.
So when we Googled Johan Rodrigani, it was zero search found on Google.
Huh,
and I was
awesome.
Like, oh.
Everything.
Everything. So I got everything. So yeah, at Johan Rodrigani, everything.
That's amazing.
There's
I love
only
that.
One. And that's you.
There is only one.
I can't thank you guys enough for taking the time to come to 305 Radio and share your amazing stories with
Absolutely.
Us.
Thank you for having us.
This is really just the beginning, so we're looking forward to what the future holds for the both of you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Good
thank you guys. Thank
you
for having us.
Everything you guys are doing, man.
Thank you so much.
It's so dope. And you know what? I'll be honest. When you first hear about what people are doing, you're like, I don't know. You know what I mean? But to actually sit down and to hear where you came from and see where you've been and where you're going is inspiration as is.
Oh,
I hope
you,
that someone listens to, that's listening to the show actually absorbs this and realizes how many golden nuggets you dropped today, or diamond nuggets you dropped today. Because, yo, you've been dropping gems all day. And thank you. That's one of the things that, this is one of the reasons we do this, because, man, we, you know, we hustle. We grind to get where we're at. And it's good. And we do this because we want to speak to and give a voice to those in the same circle. You know, the universe was on your side to begin with. For you to want to do something for Wade, and all of a sudden your boy be like, what? Bro, you should have told me. That is the universe on your side.
I think the harder you work, the luckier you get, you know? So, I mean, you work hard, and you get
When preparation meets opportunity, homie. And you've been preparing for a long time, and the opportunity just showed up next to you. That is super dope.
Congratulations, and I hope that God continues blessing your union as well.
And if you do end up going, if you guys end up making championship pieces, don't forget us, because we just want to be in the building.
We'll do.
But thank you so much for coming out. You're at your social media,
at
your website.
At Johan Rodrigani.
Say it again.
At Johan Rodrigani.
All right, for those of that can't understand Rodrigani.
Rodrigani.
Go ahead. Bust, no, spell it. Spell it out real quick. Just so
Y-O-H-A-N-R-O-D-R-I-G-A-N-I.
Everything.
Everything.
There's no Johan zero. Rodrigani. When you go Google, the only thing that pops up is him.
Yes, sir.
That is what's up. Dude, hey, thanks a lot, guys, for coming out.
Thank you so much.
Johan, you're the man. I appreciate and appreciate you. Onyx, you're a book of his life. Which is dope. And Drea?
Thank you guys so much for tuning into 305 Radio, a part of 305 Magazine, right here on your number one underground station, MiamiUndergroundRadio.com. Shout out to Will. You guys can catch us here on the IG Live at 305 Radio, and we're also available.
What?
Where are we available?
We're available everywhere, bro. But, you know, if you listen, wherever you're listening to us, drop us a line. Send us an email. If you want to reach me personally, it's info@305magazine.com. But you got to hit us up on the phone number, which is, 305-791-3054.
Yep, you got it.
Look at that. Again, it's
305-791-3054.
Leave us a message and we'll throw it onto one of our shows. Regardless of what crazy shit you talk about.
Thank you guys once again, and thank you everybody for tuning in. We will see you guys next time.
Dale con Dale.